Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read together from Psalms chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." Awesome. So those scriptures basically say this, that the king owns everything. The king owns everything. He owns everything. He owns the world. He owns the people in the world. The people are you and me. So you are not your own. You are owned by the king. He owns everything. He owns the earth. The king owns all the resources in the earth, the riches. The people with the riches, it all belongs to him. So whatever it is that you have in your hands right now, are you listening to me? What is it you have in your hands right now? What is it that you say, this one is mine, it belongs to me? Guess what? Ultimately, it belongs to God. That's your money, your home, your business, your influence, and we are all influential in some way. Your relationships, your gifts, the opportunities you have, they are all not truly ours. They are not truly yours because they belong to God. They are entrusted to us for a season, just a season. We are not owners, we are stewards. Stewards. Stewardship is a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom thing. And that's what we are talking about today. I'm bringing part two of the series that we started last week, which is what? More than money, it's a kingdom thing. Amen. And who is the king of the kingdom? Almighty God, king over the kingdom. So today is about stewardship. And I tell you, I love the truth of stewardship. Stewardship means faithfully managing, protecting and multiplying what belongs to God and has been entrusted to us. That's what stewardship is. Faithfully managing, protecting and multiplying what belongs to God and has been entrusted to us. You know, I've always enjoyed the meaning of stewardship in the sense of managing, the sense of using, the sense of multiplying. But I have to say, it's really this week that I got to think of stewardship in a deeper way about protecting, as stewardship as protecting what God has entrusted to us. And that is such a powerful, powerful thought. You know, stewardship and the whole idea of stewardship is such a freeing thing. It sets you free to know that the things I have, the things we are so busy counting and accounting for, they don't really belong to us. They belong to God. And being a steward means that I am working for God and that I am working with him. He is the owner, and therefore I can look to him about his things. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's what stewardship is about. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God said to Abraham, the Lord God took the man, not Abraham, Adam, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. That's the scripture right there. It says to work it and keep it. So working it is about managing and multiplying, but keeping it is about protecting the garden, yeah? The word keep actually means, listen to this, it means guard. It means to protect, to preserve, to watch over. You know, God said to Adam, work the garden, but also guard the garden, protect the garden, preserve the garden, and watch over it. So at the end of the day, stewardship is protection. And it's not just about using and working for profit. It's about making sure that what has been entrusted to you is safe. Amen? So last week was about God's part. He provides the provision. And this week, it's about my part, your part. And what is that part? We protect. We protect what God has provided and entrusted to us. And we will all give an account, brothers and sisters. We will all give an account for everything that God has entrusted to us. And that is a very sobering thought. To imagine that I will stand before God and give an account. To imagine that I am responsible before God in how I use the time he's given me, in how I use the money he's given me, the influence, the opportunities that he has given me, gifts, relationships, positions, resources, whatever it is that you can count as yours from God, how will you account to God? And how will you account before God about it? Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12 says it this way. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But it gets deeper. But if you're dishonest in little things, guess what? You won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches of heaven? Wow, isn't that remarkable? If God cannot trust us with material things, worldly wealth, how can he trust us with the true riches that we seek? And I believe every one of us here, filling every one of these seats, we are here because we seek the true riches. Amen? We seek to go know God in a deeper way and follow him in his purposes. We seek the spiritual riches. And it goes on to say, and if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Wow. Ooh, why should you be? So notice everything they said there, or that those scriptures said about trustworthiness. We are to be trustworthy with little, and we are to be trustworthy with much. We are to be trustworthy with true riches, and trustworthy with worldly wealth. Trustworthy with what belongs to others, as well as trustworthy with what we consider to be our own. In all these things, we are to be trustworthy. Stewardship reveals capacity. And capacity is seen in your trustworthiness. Your capacity for stewardship is your capacity for trustworthiness. God will put resources in the hands of the people that he can trust. So don't just ask for more in your hands. Ask for better hands. Better hands. Amen? Come on, look at your hands and ask yourself, are these better hands? Are these better hands? Lord, we are asking for better hands. Trustworthy hands. Those are the better hands. And you know, you don't drift into stewardship. Remember that message about drifting? It's not something that you just kind of flow into and all of a sudden find yourself this very trustworthy person who is such an awesome steward. No, it doesn't happen that way. Stewardship is something you decide yourself into. You decide into it. It's a choice that you make. You know, money exposes and reveals the person you are. It doesn't necessarily transform you, because it might transform you superficially. You know, like, you know, now, you know, the way you dress or what you drive or where you live. That's superficial transformation. But in terms of who you are, money doesn't transform you inside. It just reveals and exposes who you are, whether the money be little or much. Yeah? Do you remember with me that person who suddenly got into a lot of money and then all of a sudden you didn't know who they were anymore? It's like, these days they are rich. We can't even touch them. Huh? We can't touch them. They're a different individual. Or do you remember a person who was comfortable in life and then something happened when they lost all their money? And it became clear again that, you know, all that facade was because, you know, the money was there. But now that they have lost the money, we don't really know who they are anymore. So money, whether little or much, will reveal who you are. And you've got to determine who really am I, and follow the stewardship principles that strengthen the person inside of you that can be trusted with money. Amen? So we often think, if I had just more money, my problems would disappear. How many of you? Or maybe many of you here have discovered that even when you have a lot more money, the problems don't necessarily go away. You have. They don't disappear because it's not really an issue of money. It's an issue of stewardship. But consider this. If you do not protect what you have now, you will not be able to protect what you get later. Yeah? So it's not about what I have now. It's not even about what I have later. It's about knowing how to protect and how to steward. So wealth will not serve you without wisdom. Wow, I love that thought. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. In Proverbs, the Bible says, in all thy getting, get what? Wisdom. You know what? We are going to stream out of this church and we'll go, you know, maybe have a Sunday afternoon nap and rest kindogo here and there. Then tomorrow morning, everyone is out on the hustle. We are all hustling for something. We are out there getting. And the Bible says, in all thy getting, in all your hustling, remember what? Get wisdom. Here's a wonderful scripture that I discovered, and I pray you can meditate on it a little bit. Proverbs 14, verse 24, it says, the crown of the wise is their wealth. Wow. The crown of the wise is their wealth. Last week, we heard that kingdom economy often begins with surrendered stewardship. Such a powerful statement, yeah? Kingdom economy often begins with surrendered stewardship. Kingdom economy is a choice that you've got to make. It's a choice to surrender. You surrender to what? Kingdom stewardship. And I was sharing, you know, with the first two services that in the last election, Victor and I went to the polling station and to that ballot box intentionally voting for the kingdom. Now, there was no ballot paper there that said King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We still had to cast a vote for somebody, but intentionally and prayerfully and by faith, we were saying, Lord, we don't know who, but we do know that you are the King of Kings. And today we are voting for kingdom economics. We are voting for kingdom principles. We are making the choice to live in the kind of life and stewardship that will help us enjoy kingdom life. Amen. Because we cannot put our trust in governments. We cannot put our trust in the men that we see. We have to know that as believers, our hope and our trust is in the Lord. It's first in the Lord and it is last in the Lord. And you know, the Bible says, 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. But what? But God will protect us. It will not come near our tent. So no matter what's going on right now, in the kind of economy and politics we have, if you are a subscriber to kingdom what? Kingdom economics, you are living a different life. Amen? And that's the choice we make, to live that different life. When you think about the widow and the oil, the miracle was hidden inside stewarding what she had already had. The widow's story is written in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, and I'm going to read it quickly for you, just so that you see how she functioned in stewardship. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and now his creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves. This is now the widow crying out to the prophet. How can I help you? Asked Elisha. Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she answered, your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. She said she had what? Nothing but a jar of oil. Do you see that? You have nothing, but you have something. And how many of us feel like we have nothing? But all the time we actually do have what? Something. She said, I have nothing but a jar of oil. Go, said Elisha, borrow empty jars from all your neighbors. Do not gather just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all these jars, setting the full ones aside. She left him, and after she had shut the door behind her and her sons, they kept bringing jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there are no more jars. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. Then you and your sons can live on the remainder. Isn't that a powerful, wonderful story? She had nothing but a little oil. But in stewarding it, in stewarding that oil, she stewarded her miracle. She started by stewarding the instructions from God. She didn't ignore those instructions. She didn't say, you know what? I don't know what this man of God is talking about. See, I just told you I have a little oil. What didn't you get? It's a little oil. How is that going to be multiplied into so many jars? That wasn't her attitude. She didn't reason her way out of obedience. She didn't dismiss or alter what God instructed her to do with her small jar. She stewarded instructions. And brothers and sisters, we've got to steward the instructions that we are hearing from the Word of God. We don't set them aside and ignore them and say, I don't know what they were talking about or what God is trying to show me right now. We say, God, you're speaking and I am listening and I am walking in obedience. She also stewarded her little oil. She did not dismiss God's instructions as irrelevant to her circumstance. Like, this is too little. God's word is true, whether we steward little or whether we steward what? Much. It's still true. Her stewardship protected her miracle. Protection is guarding something. Guarding it from waste, from loss, from corruption, from neglect, and from devouring. All the things that God has entrusted to you. And I'm telling you, with so many of us here, we cannot count everything that God has entrusted to us. How are we protecting it from waste, from loss, from corruption, from neglect, and from devouring of the enemy? We must answer the question, what protects what God has entrusted to me? And today we want to hear five things that help us to protect what God has entrusted to us. So number one, are you ready? Tithing. Tithing is number one. Come on. And all the tithers in the house said? Because we have seen the faithfulness of God. Tithing protects our money and resources from the devourer. Why do we tithe? We tithe because we are obedient to God. The scripture says in Malachi 3:10-11, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That's God's instruction. And so we tithe in obedience to that instruction. And then God goes on to say, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Woo! I want that. That alone will help me bring the tithe into the storehouse. And let God be tested in my life that he will pour out a blessing so big, I won't have enough bank accounts to store it in. He will prevent pests from devouring our crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. So the first 10% of my income is the tithe, and it's paid into the house of God. It's brought to God, and this is an instruction, and it's meant for obedience. You know, 10% feels big when you have little. Sometimes when you have little and you have to take 10% out, it feels big. But also, sometimes it's easy because when you have little, you know, 1 shilling is, when you have 10 shillings, how much is tithe? You know, it's 1 shilling, so it's okay. But other times when the need is great, it's like, ooh, I have to take out a whole 100 bob, you know? But it can also feel huge when you have a lot of money, because 10% of 1 million shillings is what? So what matters is not really what it feels like, is that we are faithful with the little. And when we learn how to be faithful with the little, then we can multiply into being faithful with much. I remember I learned tithing when I was still very young as a student. I got born again and started attending church and got taught about tithing and truth about tithing. And that tithing, you know, God will open the windows of heaven. And I decided to be faithful with my tithe. My pocket money, I tithed. Back in the day, we would get boom. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But the university would actually give us pocket money. every time when we showed up, we would tithe on that. You know, I would tithe on all that. And let me tell you, God's faithfulness to provide for me, because every school holiday when I was in university, I always got a job, a well-paying job. You know, I'm not talking internship and a kidogo allowance. It was a good, well-paying job in the corporate sector, you know, and God was faithful. And even when I got that job, I would tithe from that job. I saw the faithfulness of God. When I finished undergraduate and I wanted to do a master's degree, I went and registered for that. And they had 3 scholarships in my department. And they went according to merit to the first 3 top students, okay? Now, I was a top student, but not among the first 3 top students that time. I was among the first 10 top students. And I just, you know, remember thinking, what? I don't want to go through another, 2 years, 3 years, if you know what I mean, doing a master's and paying fees every term, and was just praying and believing God for a miracle. And I want to tell you, some organization sent 10 scholarships to our department specifically, not to the university. As in, they were not going to be spread around all the departments. They said, this one is to this department. And then when they counted down the merit, guess who was fikiwad? Myself. Yeah? What am I saying? I'm saying we could go through life because we forget and just share so much about the faithfulness of God when we choose obedience to his principles. And it becomes a lifestyle where you're not even aware what exactly is going on. You can just look back and say, hey, wait a minute. I came through a tough year and God was faithful every time. I had some really serious needs, but God met me at my every point of need. Amen? So tithing is about obedience. Tithing demonstrates trust. I've shared that. It shows I can trust him with the 90%, that it will be enough. Tithing promotes gratitude. Every time I bring my tithe, I'm saying, thank you, God, because I know it all came from you. Tithing acknowledges that everything I have comes from him. Amen? And that's why I love tithing, because I can constantly come back to God and say, look, this is your stuff. Show me how to manage it. Show me how to use it. Tithing combats greed, because greed says hold tighter. Grab somebody else's. But faith says, God is my source. God is my source. I'm not hoarding, I'm not holding tighter. Tithing provides protection. As we shared in Malachi 3:10, that when my part is done to bring all the tithe, then Malachi 3:11, God's response is, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Come on. Please shout amen. If you are tired of trying things and they don't work out, just shout amen and receive that as a promise from God, that he will not, the devourer will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in her field, says the Lord of hosts. In the New Living Translation, I love this word abundant, because it says, your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So tithe protects what I have been entrusted to protect. Wow. I can do more with a blessed, protected 90% than an uncovered, vulnerable 100%. 90% with God's hand goes farther. Amen? So number 2, how do we protect? How do we protect what God has entrusted to us? Number 2 is generosity. Generosity. God is a giver. God is a generous God. The world hoards, withholds, protects for itself. Yeah? The world says consume everything. But kingdom economy says generosity enlarges your world. And nature testifies that God is generous. Just look around you. I invite you one of these days, take a walk in your neighborhood and just look at nature and see how generous God is. Just the river that's outside our compound over here. Can you see how full of water it is? That testifies of the generosity of God. The trees The plants, the flowers, the fruit on the trees, they testify of the generosity of God. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 says, those who bless others are abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. That's a scripture we share often here. And 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 says, instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be conceited and not to put their hope in the uncertainty of wealth. You know, wealth is an uncertain thing, right? But in God, God is the certain one who richly provides all things for us to enjoy. Instruct them to do good. Instruct them to be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share, treasuring up for themselves a firm foundation for the future so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Amen. How many are rich among us? I know I'm rich. I am rich because I have more than two pairs of shoes. I am rich because I have more than two blouses in my closet, you know? Pastor preaches that. You're rich if you have more than two of anything. If you have two pairs of socks, a holy one and an unholy one, you are rich. And so this instruction is for you, okay? Be rich in good works. Proverbs 3, 27, 28 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to act, don't say to your neighbor, what? Come back tomorrow. Why do we do that? Tufikirie kidogo. Don't say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you. Just say to your neighbor, come in. Yeah? Take a seat. Here's some tea. Let me prepare what you need. Yeah? Give them, be generous towards your neighbor. Don't say to them, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you when you already have it with you. It does not take a lot of money to be generous, but it takes what? A lot of heart. I hope we get that, a lot of heart. Widows might still get heaven's attention. And stinginess is often fear masquerading as wisdom. We think, oh, I'm just going to be wise and hold on to this one. But it's probably just fear masquerading as wisdom. Number three, budgeting. Budgeting. Did you guys think we'd get to the subject of budgeting? Ooh, today we are in your business. Budgeting. Budgeting is one way to protect what God has entrusted to you. Budgeting is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. How many have had that moment? I'm wondering where it went. You're checking your M-Pesa balance. Na imekuliwa yo? Yote. You know, you are getting back those two messages. What? Failed. Insufficient funds. And you're like, what? I thought I had 3K there. And kumbe, there is nothing happening there. So budgeting is telling your money where to go. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning. So budget your current income. It might help you to invest in understanding money matters, because maybe you don't understand money matters. You may not have been raised to understand money matters. So invest in learning about money. Ask good questions to wise people. Your parents are wise people who have learned something about money. Talk to them about money. Before you go and stash that money away somewhere, just talk to them. Take people, business people here, or even corporate people who know how to manage money. Take them out to coffee and ask them, what do I do with my money? Give me some guidance. You know, give me some advice about money. Talk to your pastors. Seek counsel from them. Check out solid online resources, because they are there. We are blessed and privileged in that way to be able to find those resources. And seek out financial counselors that can help you. Don't ignore wisdom in matters of money. Amen? Don't ignore wisdom. Wisdom, in all you're getting, in all your hustling, get what? Wisdom. Some of us are not as broke as we think. Listen to that one. We are just not managing well what we have. Ooh, ouch. Overflow without order will become chaos. And there is no safety in chaos. If someone gets a lot of overflow and they have no order, guess what ensues? Chaos. And there's no safety there. Number four, contentment will protect what God has entrusted to you. Contentment is just satisfaction with where you are. It is peace with your position and your circumstances. It's gratitude that God has brought you this far. It doesn't mean you don't want any more. It doesn't mean you're not seeking or working for anything else, but you're happy. You know, one enemy of contentment is comparison. And comparison destroys stewardship. It's that pressure of the moment. You know, I'm going I want to keep up with those people I'm seeing online or with my colleagues or with my schoolmates. You want to keep up with them. And so you lose sight of the wisdom that you need with your money. You want to keep up with somebody. Comparison makes people spend money trying to buy a life God never asked them to live. Can I say that one again? Comparison will make someone spend money trying to buy a life God never asked them to live. And that's expensive. That's out of control living. Just because you can afford it. Are you ready for this one? Just because you can afford it does not mean you're supposed to have it. Aye! Just because you can afford it, does it mean you're supposed to have it? Possessions were never meant to possess us. If riches control me, that is not a blessing. That is bondage, yeah? And finally, number five, you need a kingdom perspective in order to be able to protect what God has entrusted to you. A kingdom perspective. What is a really central kingdom perspective? It's the perspective of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, and I know many of you know this scripture. Remember this, whoever sows will also reap. Whoever sows will also reap. Continue. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow! Hey, can you just shut the book and go home? And go do that. Just go do your sowing and your reaping. Amen? What you reap becomes what is in your hand for the next harvest. Everything in your hand is not for the same purpose. Some of it is for bread and some of it is for seed. Bread is to be consumed now. Seed is to be planted for later. Seed is usually set apart for increase, for multiplication. If you eat all your seed, there's no future harvest. And if you plant all your bread, you're going to starve now. So ask God for the wisdom to discern the difference. Yeah, to know this is my bread and this is my seed. Some of you need to go back in charge and visit your grandparents and your moms and really figure out that understanding about seed, because as urbanites, we have lost touch with the idea, the natural idea of sowing and reaping. Understand what that really is and know what is in your hand financially and in terms of stewardship for sowing and for reaping. You know, some people are asking God for harvest while eating their seed. Ask yourself, am I one of those? Am I one of those? What has God already put in your hand? Are you protecting it? Are you protecting it with the tithe? Are you sharing it in generosity? Are you wasting it by not budgeting? Are you comparing yourself and have lost contentment? Are you consuming the seed? I'm going to tell you a quick story of myself some years ago. Again, it was a way, way back then, but I remember there was some kind of really great need in the nation for us to gather food and send resources, food supplies, to people that were in great need. I think it was either famine or clashes, political clashes. And, you know, the word went out into the churches and our own church, and there were different places you could drop off these supplies so that they could go to those people. And I remember I went and took some money for myself, you know, and to go and give. And I went and bought things in the supermarket and went dropped them at one of the drop-off places, St. Andrew's Church there. And as I'm driving out of St. Andrew's Church, and I remember I'm on Uhuru Highway, I'm thinking to myself, McKenna, you're so awesome. You're so generous. Hey, you're giving. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do for you after you've given this much, you know, hundredfold, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I remember in that moment, I felt God stop me in my tracks, in my thinking. And this question dropped into my heart. And the question was, your own earthly father, McKenna. You know, God is my heavenly father. But my own earthly father, when he calls me up and he says, there's a need somewhere. There's a fundraiser there. My friend has a need. Go with something, represent us, and bring that money there. Or there are some people over there, they have a sick person in hospital. Pack some of your things. Go and see them and take something to them. I never go and call my father and say, now, Dad, you know, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I don't come to God, to my father with a hand like this because I did something to. I did it because he's my father. I did it because we have a relationship where he can expect that from me. I did it because I know I treasure and value his cause. I did it because of the purpose that he is sending me towards. And I want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, that this is the word that we are talking about, that this becomes a personal revelation of our relationship with God, that our generosity, our obedience, our stewardship is not because my hand is out here to see what God will do, like he's a distant person, but he's our heavenly Father, and everything he owns belongs to us. Amen? And we are generous and obedient because we are committed to his purpose, and we are committed to his cause. We are committed to his heart, and we are committed to the relationship that we have with him. Amen. And I'm telling you, God never fails us. God is faithful. He will supply my every need according to his riches in glory and in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I just want to ask you to lift your hands up to God and respond to this really practical word. This is a practical word. This is a word to train us and teach us. And it's a word that demands that we do something about it. And Lord, I pray that as these hands are lifted up, that you see their hearts and their minds, and there's such an insight and revelation, acceptance and embracing of your word in the heart of everyone listening today. Come on, you whisper your own prayer to God about stewardship, about protecting everything that God has provided for you. And may God hear your prayer and answer you beyond your imagination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.